Hey, special educators. Welcome to Teach Taskbox Inspire, the podcast dedicated to making your job as a special education teacher easier by making your instruction more fun for you and your students. Inside each episode, you'll learn how to get the most use out of your task boxes in the classroom. I'm your host, Lisa Holiday from Chalkboard Superhero, a veteran special education teacher passionate about empowering you with purposeful teaching strategies, helpful tips and tricks, and other classroom management tools that will help you thrive in your role. Let's get started with today's episode. Hey there, special educators, and welcome back to another episode of Teach Taskbox Inspire. I'm your host, Lisa Holiday, and today I want to chat all about breaking the cycle of playing into student behaviors. In the self-contained classroom, we often find ourselves in a delicate dance with student behaviors. But what if I told you that we hold more power than we think in shaping and redirecting these behaviors? Today, we're going to explore strategies to empower ourselves as educators to stop playing into student behaviors and create an environment conducive to growth and learning. The first step in this process is to really understand the root causes behind the behaviors we encounter. Rather than viewing them as mere disruptions, we must recognize them as forms of communication. And I know we've heard this phrase over and over and again, but I want to say it louder for the people in the back. All behavior is communication. Whether it's a manifestation of frustration, a plea for attention, or an expression of discomfort, behaviors are often a student's way of expressing their needs, especially if the student is nonverbal. By shifting our perspective in this way, we can approach behavior management with empathy and understanding. It's crucial to realize that behaviors rarely occur in isolation. They are often influenced by various factors like including environmental triggers, such as the room being too bright or the room being too dark. Maybe the room is too hot. Some sensory sensitivities, as in their clothes are too itchy. They don't like the noise of the sound of the heater. Maybe they don't like the smell of the paraprofessional's perfume. Or they might just be individual differences. By taking a holistic approach to this behavioral analysis, we can gain valuable insights into underlying motivators driving these behaviors. So I don't want to get too much into it, but really conducting functional behavioral assessments and collaborating with multidisciplinary teams can help us develop comprehensive behavior intervention plans that are super tailored to each student's unique needs. And sometimes we kind of inherit these students, and that process is already done, and we need to review the behavioral plan in detail before you even get started. All right, so now let's talk about setting clear expectations. You guys, consistency is key in the self-contained classroom. When students know what's expected of them and the consequences for their actions, it provides them with a sense of security, a sense of structure. I want you to take the time to establish these expectations collaboratively with your students, allowing them to take ownership of their own behavior goals. However, setting expectation is only half the battle. We must also equip our students with the necessary skills to meet these expectations. This may involve explicitly teaching social and emotional skills, such as self-regulation and problem solving. So really, if they don't have a toolbox to pull from, we have to be able to teach them those strategies. Because if they're flipping out in the classroom and they're super dysregulated and you don't know how to calm them down, think about the child who doesn't know how to calm themselves down. So we need to give them those tools. By providing the students with the tools they need to navigate these challenging situations and or behavior, we empower them to make positive choices. And if they don't have those tools, they can't make those choices. So for example, I have had students in the past who were defecating on the floor for attention. This is a very serious behavior. The student was not placed in an appropriate setting prior and learned very quickly how to get out of work. He also loved all of the negative attention that he was receiving, to the point where he would have 3 to 5 adults around him trying to fix that behavior at once. So once you find the function of the behavior and getting the entire team on board with the same behavioral interventions, we were able to eliminate that behavior and replace it with other ways to gain attention or get out of work. So I know in the midst of managing behaviors, it's easy to fall into a cycle of reactivity. But what if we took a step back and approached each situation with intentionality? This is where proactive strategies come into play. By identifying those potential triggers and implementing preventative measures, we can preemptively address behaviors before they ever escalate. Whether it's implementing visual schedules, offering sensory breaks, coming up with a sensory diet, providing designated quiet space or a comfy corner, using these proactive strategies can help create supportive learning environments for all students. But we can't just offer them, we have to teach them too, right? You can't just offer quiet space and then hopefully when they want to have a meltdown, they're going to go to that space. These types of strategies have to be taught for each student. In the past, I've done so many different classroom observations in my entire 16-year career, and oftentimes, when we see severe behavior, the student has not learned how to functionally protest. I have a whole blog post that I can link in the show notes where I explain all of this, but it's really basically teaching the students how to say, I don't want to, appropriately. How can they say, I don't want to do this work? I don't like that smell. I can't stand here right now. They need to be able to say, I don't or I can't. They learn real quick the best and fastest way to communicate their wants and needs. And sometimes that can lead to aggression. So if somebody is saying, nope, you have to work, nope, you have to work, nope, you have to work, and they can't expressively say, I don't want to or I can't, they will learn really quickly that a punch in the face will get them out of that work, or flipping a desk will get them out of that work. So, of course, no classroom is immune to these challenges, and of course, there will be inevitably moments where behaviors arise. In these instances, it's crucial to respond calmly and consistently rather than reacting impulsively. Take a moment to assess the situation and consider the underlying factors at play. By responding with empathy and de-escalating tensions, we can model positive behavior and promote that respect within the classroom. Often, we're so tempted to react strongly in these challenging situations. You know, staff may raise their voices, or their eyes might bug out of their head, and their body language might become super frantic. And that actually might get all of another teacher, another paraprofessional over there too, acting the same way. However, teaching individuals to maintain a calm and composed demeanor, you know, devoid of excessive emotion, so you kind of want to have that flat face, is way more effective. For instance, let's consider a situation where a student exhibits a behavior like touching themselves, right? When handled calmly and discreetly, the behavior can be easily redirected without drawing that undue attention. On the contrary, if a similar incident is met with, you know, a chaotic response and multiple adults reacting strongly and everyone's running over and people don't know what to do and, you know, everyone's up in arms, this may unintentionally reinforce the behavior and lead it to escalate. This is precisely the outcome we want to avoid. We don't want to unintentionally reinforce that behavior because guess what? You have a student who says, wow, this is like a party. Look at all these adults paying attention to me. I love this. And that is what we want to avoid. Okay, let's chat quickly about power struggles. I've talked specifically about this in previous episodes, but navigating power struggles can be a significant challenge in and of itself, especially in a self-contained setting. If you have strong-minded paraprofessionals who like to have control, Many people will fall into that power struggle instead of stepping back and using other strategies to gain that control of the situation. So this can be as simple as a student refusing to come back to the classroom, right? Oftentimes using a first-then board or other visuals, maybe you have visuals on your lanyard. Those can be the trick. Sometimes offering choices may work as well. You know, do you want to do math first or do you want to do ELA first, if that's a choice? Do you want to walk on this side of me or this side of me? Do you want to hold this hand or this hand? So, you know, sometimes super simple choices can do the trick, right? Sometimes just good old-fashioned wait time is the best advice I can give. Sometimes just saying, okay, we're going to put 2 minutes on the clock, start a clock. When the timer beeps, we're going to go back to class. So finally, let's not forget the importance of self-care. As educators in the self-contained setting, our own well-being directly impacts our ability to support our students. If you are struggling, you need to make time for self-care practices that fill your cup. You need to be able to recharge your energy and nourish your spirit, even if it's in the middle of the day, even if it's 5 times a day. Sometimes you just have to use your team to kind of tap out. You can say, you guys, I'm at 40% right now. I need to take a walk. Or I need a bathroom break. Or can I switch my break time to an earlier time? Or tag team. You have to kind of talk and strategize with your team on what works for you. If everyone has an open line of communication, this will become fairly easy where people will be able to step in and you will be allowed to kind of take that mental break. Oftentimes my kids right now, my students get a wagon ride around the building. It takes less than 2 minutes, but sometimes being the puller of that wagon is a mental break in itself. And so I often will volunteer and say, okay, I'm going to take so-and-so on a wagon ride. And that gets that input for the student and also gives me the brain break I need as well. You have to be able to fill up your cup, whether it's mindfulness exercises in your car on the way home or in the car right before you get to work or any type of hobby that you might have outside of work. I like to relax in our hot tub with a bottle of wine. I shouldn't say bottle. It's a glass, but I might have two. Maybe you just need a girls' night once a week where you connect with your girls and you just kind of vent about the week. Maybe you're just connecting with your colleagues for support. But prioritizing self-care is essential for maintaining resilience in all of these challenges, because sometimes our job can get rough, guys. So, and with that, we've reached the end of today's quick episode. Remember, breaking the cycle of playing into those student behaviors is not an overnight process. It requires patience, perseverance, and a willingness to continuously reflect and refine our practices. But by taking these proactive steps to understand, empower, and support our students, we can really create a classroom environment where all learners can thrive. Thanks so much for tuning in for today's episode. Until next time, bye-bye. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Teach Taskbox Inspire. I hope you've gained some tips and motivation to fuel your week ahead. If you're ready to explore more strategies for empowering your students as independent learners, be sure to dive into my free training at chalkboardsuperhero.com/training. And don't keep all this knowledge to yourself. Share this episode with your special education teacher friends who could use some motivation and inspiration. One more thing before you go. If you're finding this podcast helpful and want to show support, head to Apple Podcasts and leave your rating and review. Until next time, keep teaching, taskboxing, and inspiring.